It's a big, hot mess. There are no other ways to describe really what's happening in our government and in our economy right now. Biden's kicking the Cubans out. Just as Kamala Harris welcomes migrants from Central America, yeah, she's out with a brand new five-pillar plan. Five-pillar plan to stop the influx. And what do you know? It includes encouraging these countries, these messed up countries, to have more police. More police. Imagine that. You see, for some reason, these leftists know deep down that the police are the number one part of having a civil society. And yet, for political reasons, they're just completely willing to disregard and disrespect them. And therefore, our country, you know what? If we're not careful, we're going to look like Latin America pretty soon. And you know what? The Canadians will be trying to keep us out. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I'm Trish. It's good to have you here. Just a quick reminder to subscribe to my newsletter at trishintel.com, to follow me on Twitter at @Trish_Regan. Follow my Facebook page. You can follow my Instagram page. Lots of pictures there, fun stuff there. But again, do sign up for that newsletter because I want to have a way to be in touch with you. I want you to have a way to communicate with me. That's at trishintel.com. And I've got to tell you about these economic numbers. Wow, we got a lot to discuss. And the insanity of 17 Republican senators siding with the left on a giant spending package that we can't afford. But first, a quick word from one of our sponsors. I do want to tell you about a company I like very much called GoodRanchers.com. This is a wonderful company. It delivers to your door the very best meat you can buy. I mean that because I'm pretty picky and I love this. It's grass-fed beef, all from American farms. I didn't realize 80% of grass-fed beef actually comes from overseas, but not with Good Ranchers, not with GoodRanchers.com. They also have wonderful chicken, better than organic chicken. It's organic and free range and all that good stuff. You know, I'm really careful what I eat. I'm very picky about what I eat. I only want the best products at the best price. And I found this company, GoodRanchers.com. So I want you to find them too. Check them out. I get the subscription, the family plan every month, arrives at my door. Everything's there individually packed. It comes frozen. You just pop it in the freezer. Super easy. It's really better than anything I've had at any grocery store or any high-end butcher shop. So again, good stuff. I really encourage you to check it out. Go to goodranchers.com/Trish for a special deal that I've gotten just for listeners of this program and viewers of this channel. You're going to get free shipping. So make sure you type in code word Trish. There's a special deal in there as well, just for you, just for listeners. And do your part. Do your part to support American farmers. And of course, eat well at a great price, I would add. You know, and that matters, right? Given the economy these days, given where we are, which is pretty much just a total mess. We got some economic issues that I want to talk to. Inflation, serious inflation that we're dealing with, and clearly no desire to keep any of it in check there in Washington, D.C. That's coming up. But first, let's get back to the border thing, because Cubans, whom the administration calls migrants when they try and come here, are being turned away. There were some pretty astounding pictures of some people, 27 Cubans that were trying to come to this country in a boat, and they were turned away. Biden's turning them away, and they're being sent back to Cuba, where they're clearly going to be in a whole lot of trouble, and many are risking their lives there because the regime does not tolerate you just trying to leave the country. And it's all happening as Kamala comes up with a grand plan to fix the migration crisis from Latin America to the U.S., right? I'm not really sure how interested they are in entirely fixing this, but, you know, I guess it sounds good for her. She says she has a five-pillar plan. But here's the thing. This is what you're not going to believe. This is what astounded me. And this is how you know how hypocritical these politicians really are. Because this plan of hers, it focuses mainly on policing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the hypocrisy is really, really just off the charts. But I want to get into a little bit of this because it all comes back to policing. She wants to address economic insecurity. Okay, yeah. Okay, so people are poor there. So you're going to address economic insecurity. How do you do that? Well, you go through the list. She wants to combat corruption. That means better law enforcement. She wants to promote respect for human rights. Again, law enforcement. She wants to prevent violence. And literally, she says this, strengthen law enforcement, combat sexual violence, again, a law enforcement issue. So you understand what's going on. They recognize deep down, they know that you can't have a society or an economy unless you have safety, right? And that's where police and law enforcement come into play. I mean, this is just wild. The way they're talking about getting rid of the police and defund the police. And this is such a movement. You know, I told you in the podcast the other day about the $1 million that George Soros has donated to a group that seeks to defund the police. I mean, none of this is good for America. And I would bet that if you got them in a room alone, they'd admit it, right? Because here she is with this plan to improve the situation, the economic situation in Latin America, so people don't keep coming here. And what is the big part of the plan in every single one of these bullets? It's about strengthening law enforcement, making sure that people are safe, right? Because if you don't have safety, how do you have anything else? Again, hypocrisy. But you know what? We shouldn't be surprised. We just shouldn't be surprised. I mean, you got Joe Biden out there just a few weeks ago saying, doing a little video about it, putting it on Twitter saying, guess what? You can go without a mask if you're vaccinated. Well, now that's all been taken back. Apparently now, even if you've been vaccinated, you still have to wear the mask. This is the CDC's new order. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi's enforcing it on Capitol Hill. So that's creating a whole big problem. And the Capitol Hill police are like, wait a second. So I'm supposed to arrest everybody that doesn't have a mask on? I mean, this is just one big giant mess. And it's no wonder. I mean, the reality is people are just not trusting their government here. The government, for that matter, can't even seem to trust itself. I mean, they tell you one thing and then they tell you another. So they have no plan. And the only thing that they have done from the get-go, right, from the very, very beginning, and you'll recall, I was the first person to note this. The politicization of COVID, how the Democrats were using it. I mean, I'm not disputing that it's a real problem and people have died. I mean, I've lost people. I know that I was very, very close to because of COVID. So I'm not saying that. But I am saying what they have done to manipulate the issue for political reasons is really, really shameful. And in some ways, when you look at the low vaccine rates, that's on him, by the way, that's on Joe Biden. He's president now. I'm sorry. But it's also on the Democrats, his entire party. Think about Nancy Pelosi. Think about Andrew Cuomo talking about how they couldn't trust a vaccine that was coming out under the Trump administration. Think about that. I mean, that is pure politics. And so now they're like, well, why isn't everybody getting vaccinated? Well, wait a second, guys. You said you didn't trust it. It did come out, by the way, under the Trump administration. So you can understand why people are left in a state of confusion, why people are worried. Maybe they don't trust the government in this situation because they keep hearing different things from the government, right? That is our lawmakers' fault. Right now, the single largest group that hasn't been vaccinated in this country, the African-American population, Latino population, the unvaccinated rates among minorities are quite high. And that's not good because this was effectively, right, the left's base. And they were communicating when Trump was president that you couldn't trust the vaccine. So now why is anybody supposed to trust it now? I mean, look, I do a lot of reading, right? And I read all the, as I say, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I read all the scientific studies and then I read all the crazy stuff out there and everything in between. Okay. So I made a decision for myself that I think that that is the right thing to do. And I got it. But you know what? You need to be able to make that decision yourself. And does it help when you've got the government suppressing the amount of information that you can read and see and hear? Does it help when they're changing their tune, you know, depending on how it might politically help or hurt them? No, right? Like we should just be sort of systematic about these things. And, you know, facts are facts. And yet everybody kind of wants to manipulate them to serve their own agenda. And so many of these communities right now that don't have the COVID vaccine are actually very, you know, in tune with a lot of the left's message. They also, in many cases, struggle with some healthcare issues. So if you're the president, why not? Why not? I dare you. Come up with a plan to address this, right? I mean, how hard can it be? Figure it out. Figure out, okay, I have a problem in certain communities. So if I, you know, if I want to make sure that they're vaccinated, it's on me. You look at the numbers, right, of COVID cases right now in this country, it is going up. And they want to point back to Trump. And I'm like, but wait a second. Joe Biden is the president. Nancy Pelosi is in charge of the House. I mean, at some point, guys, you got to take responsibility for it, right? This is your problem. You've got to address it and you got to be creative about how you're going to handle it. I mean, the latest and greatest plan is a $100 bonus that they're going to give to anyone who gets the COVID shot. Hey, you know what? Look, whatever it takes, right? I guess, you know, putting a little capitalism into the mix, paying people to get it, maybe it will get them to show up. Maybe it will help them deal and confront some of their fears. But really, when you think about it, this is capitalism and market principle only when it suits Joe Biden, right? Now he's willing to do this. He's telling states to do this. And states are looking at it. You know, look, California's California, same old thing there, right? They're going into kind of another shutdown mode. They've got the mask mandate. Oh, again, except for the hypocrisy, it turns out that the governor's family, his kids are off at camp in California where the camp doesn't enforce the mask mandate. So again, it seems as though there's one set of rules for the masses, and then there's a whole nother set of rules for those in charge. And so now Gavin Newsom had to pull his kids out of the camp. It's a big fiasco there in California. I'll tell you, Larry Elder has got a really good chance. I've known Larry for a long time. He used to be a guest on my show at Fox. I am now a colleague of his at Salem. And he's a smart, smart guy who understands that the way to fix things is not to just gripe about it and talk about it and say, oh, it's inequity, but in fact, to roll up your sleeves and to do something to change things, to change the policies, right? So when I look at these COVID vaccination rates and they're saying it's a problem, when I look at the increase in the rates of infection, again, I come back to Joe, this is your issue, okay? You're the president now. So you're going to have to figure that out and you're going to have to stop blaming everyone. Enough with the blame game. I want to get now to this just terrible economy. I mean, you know, these GDP numbers came out measuring the economic growth we've had in the latest quarter and not good. I mean, you know, the president's trying to say they're wonderful and I appreciate the optimism. We don't get that a lot from Democrats. So I appreciate the optimism, shall we say, but it's really, you know, kind of high to think that these numbers are good when they should be so much better. In fact, economists, not me, because I've been recognizing all along what our challenges are, but economists anticipated upwards of 8% growth. 8.4% was really the consensus. They didn't get anything close to that, right? So we're in the 6% range and they're all doing, you know, cartwheels there in the White House. Oh, isn't this great? No, it's not great because we also had to adjust the latest quarter, the last quarter, lower. So we didn't even grow as much as we thought then. The reality is this. We are not going to grow right now because we have policy challenges that are making growth incredibly difficult. Any growth that you see is basically just the reversal of what we're in, right? We had one of the worst recessions, deepest but briefest recessions in history on the books as a result of COVID. I mean, you shut everything down, everything just boom, plummets. But then, whoo, everything just opened right up. You know, Larry Summers talked about that. Larry Summers actually said during the middle of COVID that he thought it was going to be like, you know, Cape Cod in the winter. And then as soon as summer came along, everything would be back open and, you know, be business as normal. Or you could think of it like Paris in August, right? When they shut down Paris and then everything gets back to normal. Well, everything should be way back to normal and then some, right? We should be doing so much better if we had the right policies in place. But right now we're hindered by higher prices and we're hindered by the number of people that are not choosing to work Because, hey, you know, why go wash dishes when Uncle Joe's going to pay you to sit home on the couch? I mean, I'm sorry. It's just a reality. People are smart, right? They're making smart, informed decisions. You can't expect them to want to go to work when it's almost as attractive to just stay home. So that has to change. And there, those benefits are set to expire in September. A lot of Republican states have repealed them, not allowed them. And so they're actually seeing better unemployment rates. If you go down the list, every red state has a better jobs picture, healthier jobs picture than every blue state. Every blue state, which is still giving out the handouts, right? Really, which is just a massive wealth transfer since they're taxing somebody, right, to get all that money. Speaking of all that money, I mean, I want to know where the fiscal conservatives are in the Republican Party. What has happened to the Republican Party? Really, did you see the $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan that they want to get through? I mean, we can't afford it. Let me point out something. There's still $1 trillion in unspent money that has already been approved by Congress for COVID relief. So $1 trillion that they can't spend, just sitting there on the books. So why not take that money and actually apply it to infrastructure instead of actually commissioning now another $1 trillion from taxpayers? I mean, I guess that would just be too logical, right? And government doesn't operate like a business. A business would say, okay, we got this money here. It's doing nothing. Let's reappropriate it and put it over here. But they're not doing that. So instead, we've got $1.2 trillion. Now, you've heard me say before, I'm not against infrastructure. There's things that we should be doing with bridges and roads and airports and things like that, our grid. But that's not where the money's going. The analysis shows 75% of it's going to all this other stuff, right? So forget about the grid. Forget about bridges and roads. They have grand plans for this. There's a social agenda going on here too. I mean, they've said it. The head of the National Economic Council, Brian Deese, was saying we need to rethink infrastructure. In this day and age, it's a kind of social infrastructure. And I'm sorry, we don't have the luxury of that. We're talking about $30 trillion and counting in debt. I mean, is there any plan out of this ever? I don't think so, which is why I keep warning about inflation. I'm shocked that the 10-year yield is still so low, 1.2, 1.3%. I mean, it's pretty wild. It's pretty crazy. I sure as heck wouldn't want to borrow money for 10 years and only get paid 1.3% on it. Would you? But, you know, that's artificial, too, because you get the Federal Reserve, which just told us this week it's going to continue doing this, out there buying up bonds in the marketplace, creating a kind of demand, therefore, to suppress and keep down interest rates. And what does that do in turn? Well, it helps the stock market. So you're seeing some asset inflation that I expect will continue on. One reason to be invested in this market right now, I mean, and until you don't want to be, right? Because at some point, the chickens come home to roost and we've got to deal with this. But in the meantime, the party lives on. Anyway, I want to thank you again for tuning in as always. Thank you to all of you. Really, I just have the most wonderful group of people that listen to this podcast and that follow me on these channels and on social media. Do go to trishintel.com, get the newsletter, subscribe. You can go on your desktop and you'll see a little thing on the right-hand side. You can sign up or you can go on your phone and it'll pop up. If you have not subscribed, make sure you do that because it's so important right now that we all have a direct line of communication. Thank you again for tuning in. I want you to have a wonderful weekend and I am back here as always with you on Monday. Have a good one. Live free or die.